following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's that?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's world championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is the first day of the third annual Rad Rumble. It is 2022. I'm still Rad Rob. I don't think I'm canceled yet, but people are really trying. I'm here with my longtime frenemy. It is the one and only from It's Heezy Hello and Get My Go and the Mike Durban Show, and he doesn't blow only for money. I got nothing else. Heezy, what's going on, buddy?
Though I have been arrested for being in possession of it. But the thing, yes, happy to do this. I think it's perfectly acceptable for people of our age to be Royal Rumble marks. From when we were kids and we thought it was all real, to as we grew up to become sort of insiders there, man, and marks, and start learning more about the business there, man. You learn more about how the Rumble comes about, and I've always loved the Royal Rumble. I've watched them all. Some stand out more than others, and very inventive. It's a very exciting, interesting process that went into the choosing of tonight's episode, I should say, Royal Rumble that we're going to watch. I picked it at random.
All right. I was waiting for, like, oh man, I remember when so-and-so did this, or I loved who won the match. I don't even know who won this match. I completely forgot. I don't know who's in it. It's going to be all new for me because literally I haven't watched it since it happened. But yeah. I was hoping you'd have some better explanation than that. But
I remember the ending, which is legendary fuck up in pro wrestling. And I've heard a story about someone who I can see just in the background of the wallpaper who told a shoot interview about what happened after the show, but it's worrying the lunacy of a certain man, a certain McMahon, which of course we'll get to once it happens. But yeah, I have absolutely no memory of this event or the match apart from the finish.
That's
but
awesome.
Also, we've got some, because this is going to be long, we've got snacks prepared. I have, it's cheat day, so I add a bag of cheese and onion potato chips, as they call in America. We call them crisps. Also get a nice ham and coleslaw sandwich and one of Hughie's fizzy sugary drinks. Going to have a lovely Christmas Coke.
A Christmas Coke? Wow. I didn't know that was a thing.
But I'm going to do a little thing. Of course, people that may know me know that I had it for Keeping It 100. I'm going to do what Disco Inferno does. And when I'm going to put food in my mouth, I'm going to lean away from the microphone. I don't know what the fuck he did the other day. Konam's telling some story about, like, a pretty intense story. So Disco opens up this bag of chicken snacks right up against his headset, and he starts chewing with the headset on.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Amy Schumer putting underwear on.
Pretty hard to edit that out, right?
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, I have snacks, too. I have I have a
of course
Taco Bell burrito that's from last Monday. Nacho cheese Doritos.
Nice.
Yeah. And a Pepsi.
Very, very nice. So,
yeah. I don't like Coke. Well, I mean, I like Coke.
Hello, but, Tony Khan.
Yeah. But I've been more of a Pepsi guy my whole life. I'll drink Coke if it's there, but I'd rather drink a Pepsi. What's your usual preference?
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to controversially say I like Pepsi Max, but I don't like Pepsi. That's right. I said it. Flag me all you want.
I don't get it. I why?
Oh.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right. We're going to share the video, but I'm going to block it out for YouTube standards because we'll absolutely get deleted for that. But for those of you that want to watch along with us, as this is a watch along, I don't know if I mentioned that. Yeah. I have a timestamp on Peacock, or you can go to WWE Network if you're in the UK like Husey. And the timestamp I have is 1:54:24. So as you guys get that loaded up, it's a 2005 Royal Rumble timestamp, 1:54:24. I totally forgot that Taz, Michael Cole, and JR were a thing here. JR was put in to commentate the represent the Raw side, and he was fired up to be there, which kind of leads me to think he wasn't on TV regularly the way he was acting as he got introduced. So I don't know who was doing Raw at that point, or maybe he was. I don't know, but they introduced him to the broadcast pretty much at the end of the show, so I'm assuming he wasn't on TV. Do you remember anything during that time period where JR might have been off TV for a while?
Nothing.
No, I mean,
what I can remember is around this time, around 2001 is when I stopped watching regularly, because I remember I had big exams coming up. I don't know what they call that in America. Grades or whatever the fuck.
No, they're still exams. Where,
and I remember I missed about three or four episodes. I basically missed a month of WWE.
Okay.
Because I was studying a lot. And then when you come back, there's an alliance. There's Edge and Christian in a team. The belts keep switching. And I just thought, this has changed already. But around this time, it was extremely casual. And I don't know if it's because I'm completely strung out on the 90s, but I just seen there was so many wrestlers you would look at and think, that's not a star. That's not a star. And you just think, this is not for me. I've plus at the time I was very young and handsome. I was getting a lot of women. So I was like, why would I watch TV when I could be dropping loads?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, I want to say this was around the time of John Cena's start of his run. I don't remember exactly when he came in, but I'm thinking he may have been around for a year or two at this point. So we really weren't in full on monster Cena mode, to my knowledge. Like I said, I don't remember much. I do remember that SmackDown was the hot show during this time because Heyman was writing it, if my years are correct. So that's why Edge and Rey Mysterio were on top, and Batista and guys like that, Eddie Guerrero, JBL. So, I mean, it was a pretty hot time for SmackDown, from what I remember.
Yeah, and I mean, the problem is that I was not a Cena fan at the time, so I wasn't really watching because I thought he was shit.
Yeah, I thought he was shit right up until about till now, pretty much. Yeah. Before we get onto this, just a little prefacing for what's coming up at WrestleMania this year. Do you expect John Cena back?
Yeah.
What do you think? What role do you think he'd have at this year's WrestleMania?
Well, I had heard that there was a plan in place for Big E versus Cena, because they're legitimate friends in real life. But I do think Cena's going to be back. But to be honest, I got to start off by acknowledging I'm fully aware of the hypocrisy of me doing this while making fun of Wingling and that scumbag Chris Martin.
Good. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I get it that this is total hypocrisy, but we're not doing it at 3 in the morning. It's WrestleMania season. Give me a break. But
people are actually going to listen and watch this, as opposed to them. So there is that.
And I haven't been watching WWE much, but I watched the main event of day one, and I thought it was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
So, and then I've been watching like, the clips and shit online and YouTube. So, yeah, it looks like WWE's doing some really good stuff at the minute, but I do see Cena coming back, but at the minute I have no idea against who.
Well, I mean, the Royal Rumble is going to be, you know, this week on the 30th. So do you expect Cena to maybe be a surprise entrant in the Rumble like he was in the fuck year was that? It was MSG 2008. Was it 2008? Oh, sure, you remember that. but could you see something like that happening this year?
It's possible. I mean, missing it. Fast and Furious 10 starts filming in February.
Uh huh.
So he's in that, but those are hardly fucking like dramatic films. So they just basically need you to sit in a car, look out a window, frown, and then look the other way. And then, so I'd assume he's going to be done by. Yeah, so he could do the Rumble, be gone for February, March, and be back for April.
See, one thing I didn't understand about that, and you've been in the entertainment industry for a while, spoiler alert. And when people are filming movies like Cena or The Rock, they're like, oh, Rock can't be at fucking Survivor Series like we thought he was because he's filming a movie or whatever. You literally can't take a fucking hour away and fly somewhere on your fucking jet, do the goddamn match, and then go back to filming. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's such a lame excuse. Is that because of, like, insurance, like, purposes with the movie companies or whatever?
Possible, but at the same time, I also think it's just a matter of schedule. Like, if you look at those Transformers films, whether you like them or not, those films are made within less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
The actual filming starts, so the actors could be free. Like, Cena could be there. I'll be shocked if The Rock is not there, because if you look at his filmography, he doesn't have anything in production right now. Obviously, he's got a lot of stuff coming out.
Right.
Lucky us. But if The Rock doesn't wrestle at WrestleMania, I do think he's going to be there.
I hope he wrestles, and I kind of put up a Twitter scenario to where how I would book the main event this year. I would have, and obviously people are really thinking that Lashley is going to take the title back from Brock due to interference from either Roman or Heyman or maybe the Usos. So Roman retains his belt. Brock loses his. Brock challenges Roman the next night on Raw or SmackDown or whatever. And they're jaw-jacking back and forth. And all of a sudden you hit... This is my scenario. I'm retarded. Roman's out talking shit about him being the man, being the head of the table, blah, 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 blah. Brock's music hits. Brock wants the challenge. They go back and forth. Then Cena's music hits. The place goes fucking crazy. Cena says, I've earned the fact that I can show up whenever I want and wrestle whoever I want. And I want to shot the title because I fucking earned it because I was doing this shit long before you guys were. Or he can say that, you know, I was the head of the table when Roman was still at the kiddie table or some shit like that. You know what I mean? And then they go back and forth, and then The Rock's music hits. And then he just, you know, the place just, they lose their fucking mind. Rock cuts a promo, blah, 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 blah. Then McMahon comes out, makes it a fucking fatal four-way for WrestleMania. That way, they don't have to take as many bumps because they can powder for a while. And you have the four biggest stars in the business in one match at WrestleMania in Dallas in front of 100,000 people, allegedly.
Yeah, but they can't do super kicks, so I don't want to say it.
That's fair. That's right. You just blew up my whole scenario. Okay. All right. I thought you were going to pop for that, but no, that's fine. That's okay. Let's just move on to the match then. Fuck. You just took all the air out of my balloon. Let's see. One more time. The timestamp. 1:54:24. 2005 WWE Royal Rumble. I'm going to put it on the screen for Husey and I to watch. And, And I just removed it from the studio. I am the dumbest person in the world. Hold on. Royal Rumble. There we go. Okay, now, in true retro wrestling revival style, I'm going to ask you to give me the countdown from when we hit play.
Hang on, fuck's sake. I'm just Googling how to count. Okay. What, down from 3, did you say?
You can do 10, 5, 20, 3, whatever you want to do.
Why not 69?
Whatever they do in the UK. I don't get it.
Speaking of which, Lita's back. So, and 3, 2, and play.
Here we go. Man, I miss Howard Finkel. I really do.
You know the thing that was so funny about him? And that, did you ever hear the story about how Pat Patterson had a horrific office prank on him?
No.
It's a brilliant story. Pritchard told this where, because like, Pat Patterson was always like ribbing him and stuff, and he sent an email around the office straight too hard, knowing it was a joke, and the email said, "Hey, everybody, I'm having a Super Bowl party this weekend. Everyone's invited, but whatever you do, please don't tell Hard."
Oh, shit, no, really?
Yeah, and he only sent it to Hard, you know, as a joke. But apparently Finkel took it really the wrong way. So yeah. Vince said to him, "Listen, you need to go in there and apologize to him." So fucking Patterson, when they went in, he says, "Listen, I'm so sorry." And then he went and hugged him. But for whatever way he hugged him, he ended up breaking Hard Finkel's leg.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know how the fuck it happened. Look at that stage.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look at, oh, Eddie Guerrero. He's
Daddy Guerrero. Oh,
hey. A little too soon, pal. A little too soon. No, I do miss Eddie Guerrero. Can you hear the audio at all? Because I can't. I don't want to make sure I don't want it too loud for the assholes that are watching too.
No, I can hear it, yeah.
Is it too loud or do you want me to turn it down?
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
Did he die in 2005?
He might have. He might have. Maybe that car bounced up and down, fucked up his heart, and maybe that's what gave him a heart attack later on. I don't know.
He was so fucking roided up.
Mm-hmm.
You know the thing about Eddie Guerrero? You always get these people talking about how he's one of the greatest ever. I always say, name a good match he had in WWE.
I mean, the match he had with Brock was pretty awesome.
I don't remember. Oh, fuck. What is this, The Walking Dead?
Here comes the first ballot Hall of Famer for greatest murderer of all time.
You know, I used to laugh when they talk about pro wrestlers today and they go, "Oh, they've got no personality, no personality." It's like, well, neither did Benoit, and he did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would walk to the ring. He had the charisma of a poorly made creator wrestler in SmackDown. And I just never got it. And he always had shit merchandise and shit promos. And other thing that people would say, "Oh, but the way he wrestles is so stiff." It's like, okay, so he works a stiff fake fight. Who gives a fuck?
He was over though, dude. I mean, he looks like $1 million. And you could tell Eddie is like his skin wants to explode. He's so puffed up.
So who's a better parent between Chris Benoit and Eric Clapton?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, it really wasn't Eric's fault that he left the screen open, the window open, right?
Right, but you're supposed to supervise kids. Children are basically eggs on a new carpet, and you've got to supervise that egg lest you get your yolk all over the place.
No, that's a good point. I guess I'd have to, I don't know, maybe it's a, I'll have to think about that. I'll let you know right around 22 or so.
Did you ever, do you remember, what was the ECW reunion, One Night Stand?
Yeah, I think that was around this time. I don't fucking know, dude. Like 2003 to 5 to 6, somewhere around here, right?
There's a famous thing where they had a match, Benoit and Guerrero, and it really wasn't very good at all. And apparently they had all this shit planned out for it. It just didn't work. And Guerrero, if you go back and rewatch it, you can see them arguing during the match, and apparently they get into it backstage.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Look at that. Who the fuck goes for a rest hold in a Royal Rumble?
Two technical wrestlers, brother.
I hate that shit. It's fucking boring.
Yeah, I know. Why are they wrestling? I don't know. You're right. Because they're trying to show how great they are, right? How good hands they are. I don't know. Number 3 is coming out. Oh, the Tough Enough champion.
Fuck. Oh, this is the one where they slap him around a bit.
Daniel Pewter, I completely forgot that he was in the Royal Rumble. I completely forgot that he won that year. He was the one that shot on Kurt Angle and fucking almost broke his arm or something. I forgot what the fuck it was, but
yeah.
He was trying to show Angle that Angle wasn't so fucking tough after all. Angle's pissed. Yeah, this guy didn't last that long.
But the thing about stuff like the Tough Enough and the Divas Search, that was a lot of the shit that was happening that I knew this is not for me.
True. Well, we did get Maria Kanellis out of it, and we were able to see her titties, so, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, but it's like, but when I was growing up as a fan, and we've got, like, the NWO and Stone Cold versus McMahon and all the hardcore shit, and now we've got the Tough Enough contest of run around the ring holding the fucking lamppost or whatever. It's like, this is stupid.
You think this is a rib on Pewter?
Oh, 100%. Because yeah. Then it doesn't... Bob Hardcore Holly comes out next. And they all... And they're all really stiffened. But the thing that fucks me off is, in real life, Pewter would have beat the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why this whole thing, it's so dumb that why the fuck did they have the Tough Enough competition knowing that this is just going to bring heat to the guy that wins it and then he has to put up with this sort of shit?
It's true. I think this is payback for the Kurt Angle thing. I see my buddy Jimmy Cordero at ringside.
Fred,
he's a good dude.
I'd looked a bit botched, but the thing about people like Benoit is exactly the type of shitheads that I hate in wrestling, where it's all about the sport and the honor of the business. It's like, no, it's not. Just go out and you say, lay the smack down. The Rock sold out stadiums by lifting an eyebrow.
True. That's true.
You know what? I was talking to someone the other day, I was saying about how The Rock was only in wrestling for 4 years. And they said that Brock Lesnar's first run was 2 years.
True.
And it's just like, Jesus Christ. Hardcore Holly seems like the biggest dickhead on the planet.
I've heard he's really nice, but he didn't like anybody at this point. Talk about a guy that got over with no fucking personality.
Yeah, I wonder how many marks in the audience realized that what was going on here.
None. Goddamn, he's lighting them up.
So stupid, though.
I think Stone Cold got hot at Bob Holly one time for chopping the fucking shit out of him.
Ooh. Do you remember the time Lesnar broke his neck or something like that? He dumped him on his head from a powerbomb?
No, I didn't. So, like, people watching this are like, oh, he's just chopping him. What's the big deal? Like, that's how fucking stupid wrestling fans are. Like, this is the most pain they could pretty much put on him without making it look like they're trying to fucking kill him. But just chop him in the chest. But that shit fucking hurts.
But this is what I hate wrestlers. Like, oh, you got to respect the business. Respect the business. Also, I'm going to fucking murder my own family. And then Bob Holly, who beat up Matt Capitelli and whatever because he was in a bad mood that day. It's like, fuck off, old cunt.
I think that's what killed him eventually, right? That's what gave him the fucking brain tumor.
That's why I enjoy, this is a great move. But that's why I love listening to Disco Inferno's opinion so much, because like he's rich and he's healthy. Here comes Shane Helms, former guest of It's Usually Hello. But yeah, you hear all this stuff about you know, behind the scenes stuff and feuds and all this sort of shit. And while Disco's the guy who's still got all of his money, healthy, looks great, and then all these fucking dickheads are strung out on drugs, working indie shows if they're even alive.
I mean, look at Disco. He can't even afford proper podcasting equipment. He just fucking lays in his bed with his fucking $5 headset. Of course, he's smart with his money.
So badly wish people like him and Billy Body would just get a fucking microphone set.
I wish Billy Body would fucking kill himself.
I don't get it. Like, you've got this audience. You've got the chance to make all this money. Just fucking spend a little bit of cash on the podcast, and you will make it back within weeks, never mind months.
I heard recently you did a, I don't know if it was a show or a segment with Billy Body. What's up with that?
Yeah, we did a Cobra Kai review of season 4.
Oh, wow. I must be in a fucking barn burner.
I don't mind Billy personally, but he's got to stop talking about the fucking... That was a nice spot
there. That was nice.
He's got to stop talking about his critics and talking about how he doesn't care what they have to say.
I agree.
Because if you do it every week, you fucking care. But Shane Helms is another guy who's smart in that he might have played like a dumb, goofy character, but look at the merch he sold.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Who the fuck is this? Kenzo Suzuki. I don't remember this fucking guy at all.
I remember him. I remember he had a wife.
Man, good for him.
Who used to manage him. And yeah, oh, fuck. I remember he was in this really ridiculous thrown together tag team with. Do you remember a French guy who Bob Holly beat up for real?
French guy. Like one of the.
Rene Dupree.
Rene Dupree. Okay. Yeah. 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 I remember him, but I don't remember the tag team. What is it with Vince and fucking Japanese guys? Like, he just doesn't know how to book them at all.
But the problem is, it's because WWE, it's like it's a promo-based company, but he keeps signing people who, A, can't do promos, or English isn't their first language.
That's fair. That's true.
But the thing that's so dumb is, like, why don't you know this before you sign them?
Agreed. You know, I think Shinsuke is the only one he's never really, like, put into that, like, stereotypical, you know, comical Japanese bullshit that he's done over the years. He might be the only one. Because, I mean, even Jimmy Wang Yang was a fucking, was a parody of a Japanese cowboy or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Tajiri actually had a decent run, if I remember right.
Yeah. You know, I always thought, though, that with Nakamura, the thing that really fucked him was that he...
Oh, here's the rated R super. Is this, well, this is pre-rated R. This is like the rated PG-13 superstar.
Yeah. Of course, still going today, unlike the two zombies. I remember but with Nakamura, I think the thing that fucked him was, do you remember that debut match he had with Sami Zayn in NXT?
Yeah, they fucking killed it.
Yeah, and I think that was the problem. It's like, well, hang on, you've come in and you've worked this 5-star excellent match. The crowd was insane for it. It's like, my top it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And it's like that sort of thing where it's almost good to come in and debut with an okay match. But when you completely tear the house down, you now have to do that every fucking match or it's just going to seem bad.
But that was the NXT style, right? I mean, like, all the takeovers were like the most ridiculous matches you've ever seen in your life. Like, and then you go back to the weekly TV show and it's like a fucking fart in church.
Yeah. I've met Edge.
Good for you. Actually, I have too. I met him in Knoxville. He's a nice guy.
I got my photograph taken with him and we spoke about how bad the Foo Fighters album Concrete and Gold was.
Who's coming out next, Husey?
Hopefully it's a person of color.
There aren't that many.
Oh, it's Ray.
Were you a Ray Mysterio fan? I know you're about the same height.
Yeah, always been a Ray Mysterio fan. I think Ray Mysterio is one of these guys. Like, I don't know what his personal health is like, but he's one of those people that I think should. And I know it being a mark, but I think they should consider giving him a title run again because everybody loves Ray Mysterio.
Yeah, still. Even though his son really fucking sucks.
Hey, I've only seen his debut match against Seth Rollins, but I thought that was pretty great.
No, the kid's
but
good.
But did you hear about Ray's hate with Vince McMahon, which I find quite hilarious?
No, what is it?
Right, so Ray personally designed his mask and owns the copyright to the image, and he finances his own merchandise. So he gets like a massive chunk of all the money from it, and WWE, well, doesn't. And apparently that's one of the reasons why him and Vince have always had kind of like a bit of hate.
I didn't know that, but that's genius by Ray, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's an independent contractor, brother. He should be able to do what he wants.
See, this is something that even back in 2005, I knew that this was a problem. When you get people like Shinsuke, whatever that guy's called, and Daniel Puter are already out.
Yeah.
But the people who are established stars are doing better. So it's like, well, who's that getting over, brother?
No, that's true. I mean, they're just filler. Shelton Benjamin, our first black competitor of the evening.
Thank God.
I love Shelton. I think Shelton's always been great. I loved it when he turned heel and became like the gold standard. Like, that's when he finally started showing some charisma. But up until then, he was just another one of those like amazing athletes, you know, like all black people are. But couldn't really cut that great of a promo.
Yeah, I remember Bruce Pritchard saying that if Benjamin could have cut a promo, he likely would have been world champion. But I remember, though, like, because we always talk about the 90s and how it was a total mark during the Attitude Era. But I think if you go back and watch those Attitude Era Rumbles, they're shit. Because you know the month of January. Even then, you're like, there's no way it's not going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin chasing the belt at WrestleMania. So you know he's going to win.
Yeah.
Or so you pretty much always knew the winner.
Yeah, either The Rock.
Every event.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things about this show that I remember, because there was the separate brands where you genuinely didn't know like who was going to win. Oh, two people of color. Excellent.
Back to back, too.
Did I ever tell you my Booker T story?
Probably not.
But I'm not going to say the word. So it was at a SmackDown show, and he was SmackDown house show in Belfast. Mm-hmm. And he was King Booker, and he was doing that thing where he was walking around the ring and doing, you know, greeting his royal subjects and all that shit.
Yeah.
Some drunk dickhead leaned right over the barrier and got like a foot and a half away from Booker T's face and goes, "You fucking N-word!" right in his face. And what happened, and I witnessed this, Booker T took his crown off and his a cape, whatever you call it, and it just slowly got in the guy's face, and the guy literally, and I mean it actually happened, turned a shade of green, and his legs started to go, and his friends dragged him out of the place.
What the fuck did he expect was going to happen if he said that? Like, what's the best scenario outcome for this fucking guy? Like, what is he thinking when he says that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think that Bischoff, I think that he pretty much was having a mild heart attack.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad because the Booker T didn't hit him, because if he had hit him, he would have killed him.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. That's what happens when you go to Ireland. You got a bunch of drunk fucks there, right? So,
here comes Jericho, another person I've met.
Back when he was in good shape. I saw a meme today of Jericho at 50 with his fucking, you know, belly hanging out, and then Ric Flair at 50, who's fucking ripped as shit. It was just a funny comparison.
When I met Jericho, we spoke about Aerosmith and spoke to Edge about the Foo Fighters. What are you looking at? Hey, there's a great roster of talent there, man. I remember Booker T versus Edge. It was WrestleMania 18. And they had this match, and I remember thinking at the time, this is going to be fucking great. Like, these guys are great wrestlers.
Yep.
And the storyline was over the winner got a shampoo commercial. And it was even back then, 2002, you're like, what the fuck's going on? Like,
right.
Like, you have like your Austin and you know, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, this great storyline. And then it's like, and the winner gets a shampoo commercial.
God damn it, pal, sell that shampoo.
Yeah.
Why are Teddy Long and Eric Bischoff out here, by the way? I know they're like commissioners or whatever of Raw and SmackDown, but I didn't hear what the commentator said. Why are they fucking out there?
They're probably just both trying to will on their side to win the Rumble.
Okay, that's fair.
But I remember, though, it was the 1999 Royal Rumble when Austin versus McMahon was the biggest fucking thing. Like, it was even on getting coverage on. Do you remember Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV?
Yep.
Like, that's how big it was. Here comes Roman's brother.
Ah, Luther Reigns. Yes, I do remember him.
Star of The Girl Next Door and Daredevil.
Dude, he was built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah. But, so Austin McMahon. But then when you watch the Royal Rumble 99, and it's like, and the winner's going to go on to main event WrestleMania. And then you're getting people like draws and fucking Christian. And it's like, this is stupid. We know that they're not going to win. And it is a problem when you watch the Rumble today. Not always, but there's often times when you see people, they're clearly not going to win. So I would almost like it if they could reduce the number of people in the Rumble.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true. I thought 92 was great because it was the first time the WWF title was up for grabs. It was vacant, and the winner of the Rumble was going to become the champion. And the way they paint it is like literally anybody can be WWF champion. And I thought that was really, really smart. But that's back when they had 30 fucking, stars, right? Like really good wrestlers and not just fucking fillers like Roman's brother here. But back then, you really thought anybody could win.
Yeah, by the way, Luther Reigns is the guy that I have a story to tell about later on.
Okay.
No, but you're right. Like the 92 one, well, of course, I was a kid when I watched it, so I didn't know any better. But even in hindsight, there was at least 12 people who genuinely could have won that Rumble.
Yeah, for sure.
And but then, uh-oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Say nothing. Don't want to get flagged. But there was the guy. What was the Rumble? Do you remember the one that Nakamura won a couple of years ago?
Vaguely, yeah.
And it was really, but I remember that one having a ton of people who genuinely could have won.
Yeah, no, you're right. But and, I mean, and they're all in the same.
I remember that.
They're all in the same playing level. Like they're all in the same level. They're like none of them are like superstars, right? So, anybody, yeah. So this guy here, Muhammad Hassan, actually played his role much better than Ben Hameen ever has in the last 30 years.
But the thing, that's one of the problems with your guy Muhammad Hassan when you read about him. How good he was.
No, he didn't. But wasn't he? Wasn't he like Canadian or something?
I hope so.
Oh no, that's Jinder. Jinder's Canadian. My bad.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, they all look alike.
He was so good at playing a heel.
He was.
And didn't what's his name? Pritchard even said there was plans for him to become world champion.
Yes, he did say that. And I mean, he's got the look. And he's got the heat, so I thought he could have pulled it off. Like I said, they made Jinder the goddamn champion, so really anybody could be champion. And now they're beating him down because he's what? Because he's Arabian or whatever, Iraqi, whatever the fuck he is.
I wonder if Jericho knew that was part of the match due to his voting rules.
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, here comes little 10-pound Ray. It's like a fly hitting a brick wall. I don't understand like why he sells for that.
I remember somebody saying that Rey Mysterio was one of those guys that he was known as the locker room barometer, and that he was everybody liked Rey and he liked everybody. But if Rey Mysterio had a problem with you, that meant there's something really up with you and you're not going to fit in.
Oh no, shit! That's funny. Oh hey, Orlando Jordan, wasn't he?
Yeah, bottom right time.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's all that needs to be said. He reminds me a lot of...
Did you say Smollett?
Yes, absolutely.
I remember he was in TNA, and he did this really, at the time, it was really groundbreaking thing, where he was like he was an openly bisexual character, and he would do these like... Lady Gaga type entrances.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I was actually watching Impact at that time. I do remember that. That's back when Impact was good.
If I remember my timeline correctly, Orlando, what's his name again?
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jordan was in a faction with JBL and a tag team called the Cabinet.
Yes, correct. That's when he had the chick with the fucking tumor on her face, I think, too.
Have you heard the rumors that Jarek was going to be in the 2022 Rumble?
I have heard the rumors because obviously the forbidden door is open, pal, was, Piggy James being in the Women's Rumble. But I wouldn't make any more out of that. People are expecting Moose to show up and, like, fucking, you know, Hangman Page or whatever. Well, WWE could book Hangman really Page better than AEW does right now, and he's their fucking world champion. So
yeah, I can't see Moose doing it because Scotty Too Hotty, because nobody knows who the fuck Moose is.
That's true, and there's already enough big black guys that are in, you know, on the Rumble already. Like, I mean, Lashley is like, you know, Lashley and Big E are really all you need for like big, huge black guys. I think that'd be too much over their quota.
Yeah.
Scotty Too Hotty recently got fired from WWE thanks to Nick Khan, Tony's brother. Were you a fan of Too Cool when they were in there?
At the time, yeah. I used to be able to do the worm before my back injuries became too serious.
Back injuries? What the fuck? What do you do?
It was nearly 10 years ago. I got really heavy over Christmas, and I gained a lot of weight, and two friends of mine got engaged and were getting married that September. So I thought, right, I'm going to intensely start training. So I overdid it too quickly, and I hurt my back.
No shit. I never knew that.
Yeah, okay. Prolapsed disc, everything.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you drink a lot.
No, I just do that because it's fun. Although, I got to be honest, this dry January is going amazingly.
Dry January, is that's a thing?
Oh, yeah. It's a vitally needed thing.
I mean, is that something you came up with? Is that like a nationwide thing? Is it a campaign?
It's just sort of like a health kick thing, but it's also an excuse that people come up with coming into Christmas to completely go off the walls, apeshit.
No, that's true. Like, everybody starts joining the fucking gyms around here. Like, Planet Fitness runs a sale, and, you know, all the assholes work out for, like, a month, and then they're just back to being fat again. See, I just choose to be fat all the time.
I can tell. Charlie Haas just debuted with Impact and got injured on his debut match.
That's gotta suck, right?
I know.
I saw that. Poor guy, man. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that had the abilities, but again, had no fucking personality. Like, when he and Shelton were in Team Angle, you know, Kurt Angle was the one cutting all the promos for him. But once they got on their own, you saw what happened.
I always thought they should have given them a Miami Vice type gimmick, because one of them was a black guy and the other one was a W word. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I have no problem with white people. It just would have been something. And also, I'm a mark for Miami Vice.
Do you
hear Vin Diesel's rebooting it?
I didn't know that. I know they rebooted Nash Bridges with Don Johnson and Cheech Marin, but is Miami Vice really coming back?
Yeah, and Vin Diesel's behind it, so I don't know if he's going to be in it. But that Miami Vice fucking holds up.
It does. It really does. Like,
But what did you think of the 2006 film with Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell?
I thought it was shit.
Yeah. I thought it had so much potential, but then, it's they shouldn't have modernized it. It should have been stuck in the 80s.
Agreed. Yeah, whenever they do shit like that, I'm out of it. Like, the 80s was such a great time for, you know, for Miami Vice and cocaine and all that shit. Not that cocaine doesn't exist anymore. It's only in Jacksonville. Who's coming out now? Oh, we just talked about that asshole. Rene Dupree. Yeah, Rene Dupree. We just talked about him.
He was only 19 years old when they signed him. So he's probably like 21 years old. Here, look at the size of his arse.
Is that too loud?
No, that's fine.
Okay. No, he was a he was a big dude. What was the other guy in La Resistance? Do you remember his name?
Shad Gaspard. Yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah.
You popped me on that one. I can't remember his name, but they're two good-looking guys. And, I mean, Pat Patterson groomed them and trained them. And, you know.
He's fucking right, he did.
Yeah.
But they were shit. Do you remember the time they threw Spike Dudley through a table? I missed the table and he cracked the back of his head off the thing.
I do remember that, yes. Spike was another one that actually had personality. And even though he was small, like, he could cut a fucking promo. That's why he got over. Like, and he was the underdog.
Yeah.
you know, so I always love stuff with him. Didn't he get into it with, like, wasn't Molly Holly his girlfriend or something? And Stone Cold called her a whore or some shit like
that's
that?
That's right. What do you call the thing you get?
She's a bimbo. Or I forgot what he called her. Yeah.
Get your bimbo girlfriend to sign the goddamn thing, too. She said, don't call her a bimbo, man. But she's a bimbo. What?
I love that.
Simon Dean.
Oh, fuck this guy. That's Nova, right? From ECW, I think. Same guy? Possibly. Maybe.
Tell me he's not Disco Inferno today.
It's true.
Hey, if you're healthy and you work out, you won't get the COVID and the COVID. I'm so sick of him talking about COVID for real.
Bro, that's all, like, he tweets about, like 24/7, right?
No, it doesn't make sense. Like, we're coming to the end of it. Like, even, I know I don't really talk about private life much, but let's just say that Rob, somebody over Christmas went through a bit of a dark time. I think that, I don't know, some random person kind of get a bit paranoid by it all and start believing the news too much. And despite being, you know, vaccinated and jabbed, it was all getting to her. And then just over the last 2-3 weeks, she just said, you know what? Fuck this. And because, like, nobody we know's got the virus in the nearly 2 years. Like, and then those who then are so many people that we have heard of getting it have completely been fine.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know what? Fuck it. And there's a date night tomorrow, first time in ages. Look at him, Simon Dean outside.
I just read a story from Bill Gates saying that, after Omicron, it's just going to be a seasonal flu. That Dr. Bill Gates, he knows so much about infectious diseases. Hey, who's this guy?
I met him, too. Did I ever tell you my Shawn Michaels story?
Probably not.
It was one of those meet-and-greet things, and I'm not one of the Corey Ryan stories, but the guy in front of us was, believe it or not, a total fucking mark with no logical common sense of the real world. And when Shawn... He goes up to Shawn Michaels and he goes, and you get, you know, to talk to him and you're getting your photograph taken and shit. And he goes, what's your opinion on how the WWE have the horrible treatment of Chris Benoit's legacy?
Jesus Christ.
And Shawn says, well, what's your opinion on the treatment of the media's treatment of the legacy of Jack the Ripper? You know, like, he fucking killed people, like, you dumb mark.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I, of course, when I got spoken to him, I spoke to him about breaking news, the NWO. And he told me that the original plan was that the storyline was that there was going to lead to Triple H forming a team to feud with the NWO at Survivor Series. And that was going to be the end of the NWO. And that Shawn wasn't supposed to wrestle again until WrestleMania. That was supposed to be his big comeback, which is why he was so visually out of shape at SummerSlam 2002.
Wow, no shit. That would have been, I mean, the match was still great because obviously Shawn Michaels is fucking amazing.
He is Kurt Angle is unbelievable.
Yes.
In my opinion, there's my hot take of the episode. Kurt Angle was a good wrestler.
Fantastic wrestler. I've never seen anybody transition from amateur wrestling to the pros like he did. And I know no one's ever talked about that before. And I know that's, it's unpopular. Well, what about opinion.
Bruce Jenner? He transitioned from fucking male Olympian to female reality TV star.
This was
leading up to their WrestleMania match, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know, in my opinion, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle was a good match. Was another one of my thoughts. Yes. What?
Just like that.
Holy shit.
I don't remember that at all. Look at him, his hand, wiggling his fingers. Like, did he get dropped on his fucking head on that?
Yeah, I'm sure he had some sort of issues going on.
I'm sure he did. In fact, I don't think he was there much longer. He went to TNA around 2005 or 6, didn't he, I thought?
6. Because I remember he was part of that shit ECW
Yeah.
Comeback. And that's then right. He looked like he was out of his mind on drugs. Well, he was.
He was. Yeah. That's probably why he didn't last long here.
You know, it's funny with people say, oh, WWE never pushed WCW talent, but look at the ring. You've got Jericho, Benoit, and Ray.
Yep. That's true.
This is a good rumble.
It really is. The coach.
The coach. You know what I have to laugh about him, and I'll watch what I say, because he likes to mouth off every once in a while on Twitter about, let's just say, race issues.
Yeah.
And then I noticed people tweet him the name of a lady, and then he deletes his original tweet. Because allegedly, let's just say, that lady couldn't have bought beers at a certain time the coach met her, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So there you go.
Fun fact, the coach is actually a really nice guy, though, but other than, you know, what you just said.
Yeah, speaking of nice guys.
I forgot to tell you my quick Shawn Michaels story. So I met him at a arena football game, which Hartford, Connecticut was just, they just introduced a new arena football team for the Arena Football League, and Shawn had just won the title at WrestleMania 12. And he was my idol. And that was what, was that 96? Yeah, 96. So I was, 20. Still a mark for wrestling at that point. And, he was there signing autographs at halftime. I went up to meet him and I had the copy of the WWF magazine where he was on the cover, you know, with the belt and all that. And, The cover was too dark to sign with a black Sharpie, so we opened up to the pages of the article where he beat Bret Hart, and he signed, like, right where he fucking pinned him, which is kind of funny. And I'm like, man, I can't believe, like, you finally won the title. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, you finally won it. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you. He's like, yeah, me too. I'm like, what a fucking dick. Like, and he's supposed to be a babyface. Like, what a dick answer. Like, this is my hero. And he was a complete douchebag back then. So that really kind of ruined my experience meeting my idol, because they always say, like, you don't want to meet your heroes because they're usually fucking assholes. But
can you blame though wrestlers for having a problem? Look at how angry Shawn looked at him getting his hair pulled. I can't blame wrestlers for being angry with meeting wrestling fans because there's so many dickheads. By the way, there's a match from 2005 which you could see. It was Shawn Michaels and Edge in like some type of a street fight match on Raw. Mm-hmm. And Shawn Michaels did a blade job and he bled pretty heavily.
Yeah.
So much so that it made his hair all group up and his bald spot was completely exposed.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I can't believe how long it took him to just shave his fucking hair.
That's hilarious. Look, this shows you how intense this feud was going to be. If Michaels is fucking blading at a rumble, then he's not going to win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty intense, dude.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was an approved spot or if they just went into business for themselves. And
Mark Jindrak, of course, was originally going to be the Batista of Evolution. And then he fucked up backstage. And then nothing was ever done with him.
Nothing at all. Yeah, you're right. They had big plans for him. Oh, hey, it's the third member of the NWO.
Yeah, the human Easter egg.
I imagine he's dead by now, right? He's so fucking big.
Yeah, how bad do you think his ring gear smelled?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. That's a good point.
Did you hear the shocking news that what? Nia Jax has not only retired, but she's single?
I did hear that. I saw that she's back to doing, how do I put this? Larger woman lingerie photos.
She is a beautiful face.
But she really is, dude. Like, she's hot.
Yeah, but the thing is, she seems like a dick.
Yeah,
she doesn't seem like a nice person. And yeah. I'm sure you've seen all the footage of her getting annoyed at fans for asking about The Rock. It's like, it's like, hey, sorry that somebody likes The Rock. You know, the number one celebrity on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're shocked that somebody would want to talk about him?
I get it. Out of all the people that are left in this ring, How many are still alive?
All of them except for Viscera and Benoit, because Benoit killed Viscera. Paul London.
Paul London and Brian Kendrick were...
he's one of these weird dicks.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that type of entrance?
It's just the gimmick him and Kendrick were doing, right? The weird fucking... I don't even know what the hell it was. Hippies or... I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I'm not even sure why he got a shot at this time. Like, there's a lot of small people in WWE at this time.
Even though we did a dork side about it, the French Tickler. I remember this. Even though we did a dork side about him, do you think that it's fair that people still shit on Jericho? I just say that because, like, well, to be fair, like, what, 2005, it's 2022 now. How many years ago is this? I can't do math.
7, 8 or 9.
8 or 9 years?
Yep.
No, let's see. Well, this is well over a decade ago. Jack was still wrestling. A part of me feels, well, not even, I wouldn't say guilty, you don't give a fuck, really, but it's almost like it's a mute, not a mute point, it's a dumb point to point out that fucking, here he comes,
US
the
champ.
Peacemaker.
Yep.
But to say, oh yeah, Jericho sucks these days, it's like, yeah, well, most people would at his age, but no, I just read that Jericho extended his deal with AEW, so fuck knows what kind of money he's getting, good for him.
No, good for him, no, for real, no, you're right, and I'm still a Chris Jericho fan. It's, to me, look, it's sad to look at him at the shape that he's in. Like, this is why I wish any athlete wouldn't hang around too long, because you want to remember them in their prime. And you know, he should retire right after that Shawn Michaels feud. That would have been a perfect time.
Hmm.
So this is about a year. I think this is about a year into Cena's career, if I'm not mistaken. And he just got big of the, he got rid of the fucking gobbledygooker there. I was a Cena fan at this point. Like, he was cool. I saw him in, Mohegan Sun, in Connecticut for a SmackDown. And the fucking place was hot. Like, when he came out and he's doing, I think he did a rap battle with somebody, and dude was on fire. I don't know what point they started hating him, but at this point, he was still pretty over. Who the fuck is this guy?
Oh, Gene Snitsky.
Snitsky, the one that kicked the baby into the fucking crowd.
That's fucking great. But ironically, it was Cena's feud with Edge that changed my mind on Cena. Which I think was a year later. Like, those matches were fucking incredible.
Yeah, no, they were.
In fact, you were talking earlier about Cena at WrestleMania. What about this for an idea? Cena and Edge versus the Usos.
Wow. Yeah, that would actually be a good match. And if you think about it, like, honestly, if you really think about John Cena's career, do you ever remember him having, like, a four-finger stinker fucking match? Like, never. Never had a bad match.
Well, I remember a lot of matches of his, but that I didn't like. But at the same time, he did that thing a lot, like Hogan in that. What's this? I remember this.
Oh, Christ!
Jesus Christ! Good bump. But I remember with Cena, he was a lot like Hogan in that when he was on the pay per views, it would be fucking great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I agree. And even Roman Reigns, I can't remember a bad Roman Reigns match. Like, people can shit on him all they want, you know, when he was a babyface, but I can't remember anything that was really, really that bad. Like, oh God, they never should have done that.
Well, I'll admit that I didn't like his match that he had with Big E at the Survivor Series. I thought that whole event was, that event put me off watching WWE shows in full anymore.
That's fair. Because that wasn't Roman's fault.
That Survivor Series was shit.
That was Big E's fault. Not because he's black, but because he's just not good. Kane. Kane's one of those guys that could be in the Royal Rumble every single fucking year till he's 90, and nobody would care.
Yeah, but no one would know either. He could just put a fucking mask on.
That's true. I wonder if he comes back this year to kind of take his record back for most eliminations. Poor Paul London takes a bump that could have killed him just to be eliminated.
Hey. Kane's another one that he's one of these people a lot like Cena, that he wasn't always great, but he really could pull it out when he needed to.
That's true.
Did you have perfect timing? See the Jericho Kane feud? I remember they had a feud back in 2000 or something. And apparently it was based on that storyline was based on a rib to Bret Hart for some reason, because Bret Hart once pitched a storyline for him to feud with Hogan. And Vince says, "Well, what would the angle be, pal?" And Bret Hart says, "I don't know. What if he spills coffee on me or something?" And Vince was like, "What the fuck? Spill coffee?" So that's what Jericho versus Kane was over. If you remember that.
I do remember that. Yes. I didn't even put two and two together. You think London was really hurt there, or they're just fucking kayfabing it?
London's burning, brother. Lashley and Kane, I remember that feud being dark as fuck because it was about how Lashley raped Lita.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I do remember that. That was weird. Hey, here's Batista.
Here comes Drax the Destroyer.
The biggest liberal snowflake in the pop fucking universe.
Yeah, hypocritic. You know, you have to laugh at, though, how when Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings came out for Marvel, everybody says, "Oh, it was the number one or the first ever Asian superhero film." I bet you Batista was sitting there going, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
I've done five of them. I was a big Batista fan
back then. Yeah, but now not so much.
And he was shit, Batista. Like, he was a lot like Ultimate Warrior. Because We say that Cena was like Hogan, and that Batista was rarely good, but when he was good, it was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. He was fucking super over. Like, over.
Yeah, no, because Batista had that thing where he actually looked tough.
Right.
Like John Cena would obviously kill us in a fight. Right. He doesn't look tough, but Batista looks like he could fucking crack some skulls.
Absolutely.
Want to hear an interesting Chris Jericho fact?
Sure.
From 2005. I had heard, of course, this was back when WWE really had a monopoly on the business there, man. And so they could hire and fire who they want, and wrestlers couldn't make demands because Vince would just say, "Nope, on you go." Jericho, and he's never revealed who the name was had found out that his name, because his contract was coming up, Jericho found out that his name was on the list of people who were going to be asked to possibly take a reduction or get off, which was a sign of saying, you know, they might let you go. So Jericho, after being told that, instantly went to Vince and said, "Listen, just want to let you know that I'm not going to renew my contract. I want to take a break after this runs up." And, of course, Vince immediately was like, no, wait a minute, pal. We don't want to let you go." But Jericho stuck to his guns and took like a year and a half or 2 years off, and then he came back to his biggest deal ever. Like, that's the thing about Jericho. Like, he may not be in the greatest shape anymore, but he's one of the smartest businessmen wrestlers is ever going to be.
Dude, I gained a shit ton of respect for him when he was on the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold last year. Just listening to him and how smart he was about the business. Like, I really learned a lot about him from a wrestling business perspective. And, you know, again, say what you want about the shape he's in or whatever. If he's still able to cash in, why not? You know what I mean? Like, I would.
Yeah, plus there's a rumor going around that Fozzy are going to be... And Ric Flair?
Fozzy's going on tour. The U.S., I know, pretty soon.
Yeah, but allegedly they're going to be playing the Belsonic Festival here in Belfast over the summer, which is a really big deal. That's up to... That holds about... It's like a 13-day festival, which holds up to, it's like between 15 to 30,000 people per day.
Wow.
And to be honest, it's not entirely out of the question that Fozzy could draw for that, because when they played the Limelight, it was only 1,000 people there, but they sold it out in like 4 minutes.
Wow, yeah.
So there's a sign that there's demand there.
And the band's actually pretty good, dude. I wouldn't say he's the greatest singer in the world, but he's obviously a great entertainer, but the band themselves are pretty fucking tight.
Yeah, like, so Evolution was still together at this time.
That's why Flair was there. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was tutoring Batista. But Flair actually looked good here. He looked like he still could go in the ring.
See, Tyson Tomko, I remember there was a thing. It was the Raw before WrestleMania 21. And there was the Money in the Bank ladder match. Benoit, so the and there's a six-way, and then that Raw, the three faces versus the three heels.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomko ran up to headbutt Benoit on the outside. But Benoit didn't get his hands up, or Tomko accidentally botched it, did it for real. And Benoit's eyebrow basically exploded.
Oh, fuck.
It was fucking disgusting. There you Speaking go, child killer.
Yep, there you go. See you, buddy. Good luck in your future endeavors. I love Flair. No, sorry, it was an accident. That's great. That's a good spot.
That is pretty funny.
What number was it, by the way?
Of course, Batista was originally supposed to win this.
Mm-hmm.
That the botched finish, of course.
Yeah.
Was a botch.
See you, Rick. Collect your 10 grand. Have a good night. Ray's still in there.
Yeah, and all four, well, three of these guys are still wrestling today.
True.
Did they ever do a Cena versus Mysterio storyline? I don't remember one.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, they might have, and I just forgot about it. Is this the final four? I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, well yeah, there's four of them.
I mean, there's nobody else coming out, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay. You know, I was never the biggest Ruthless Aggression era fan, but when you see the kind of talent they did have,
yeah,
like it was class.
That's true. So this is like a prime example of what you said. Like everybody else, pretty much in the match was shit, and you pretty much knew they weren't going to win. They always come down to like the biggest four fucking names in the company.
Mm. But this was because I remember at the time. This was before the Edge and Lita scandal
yep.
leaked out. So I don't know if Edge was a heel or a face, but the marks didn't hit him. But it's like, yeah, how dare he bang Lita? Yeah, because everyone would do it.
I would.
Lita was back on SmackDown last night.
She was. She
looks fucking amazing. She still looks great. Imagine what she was like back then.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, Batista and Cena.
But what I do remember about being a fan back in these days is because, of course, Lesnar left at Mania 20, and there was always the talks and the rumors that he was coming back. And a lot of people, I remember, thought that Lesnar was going to run out during this bit.
Yep.
Marvel versus DC.
That's right. The year before this was when Benoit won, right? He had that amazing finish against Big Show, where he like grabbed him in a fucking headlock and kind of like dragged him over the fucking top rope. Was that, if I'm not mistaken, that was how they, that's how they finished that one, right?
I don't remember that one.
You remember that one?
I remember him.
It was crazy the way he eliminated Big Show, because obviously the size difference.
See this botch that's coming up. This is one of these botches that always fascinates me. It's like, how did you fuck up so badly?
Yeah.
Because not only did they fuck it up badly, but they perfectly fucked it up to the point that it caused backstage chaos.
They just want to prove how strong Cena was right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this may have been the only like major botch in the history of the Rumble.
Right, so that's hilarious, because Batista wasn't supposed to go over. He was supposed to grab the rope, and Cena was supposed to win, right?
Yep.
It's so perfect that it went wrong that way.
No, it is, because like they both landed literally at the exact same time. Yeah. Like, which
so you can just picture Vince backstage and Gorilla going, what the goddamn hell just happened?
I'm sure he was fucking pissed, but they are lucky they hit at the same time. So like watching this originally, you're like, oh, it's one of the same finishes they had with like, was it Lex Luger and...
Brett,
where they both hit at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did work out perfectly for them, even though they fucked it up. But I wonder who made the call, like, to call the spot now.
Who do you think's a better actor, by the way, between Batista and Cena?
Hulk Hogan.
You know, he's an unbelievably bad actor, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, you think he would have been, like, the man. Like, when WWE Studios announced that they had him for, like, a four-picture deal or whatever, yeah, you would have thought that Stone Cold would have been, like, the greatest movie star ever. Is this when Vince tore his fucking quads?
Yeah, right, so there's one quad gone.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
This was a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
It's so hilarious. So he's sitting there trying to play it off like nothing's wrong, hands on hips.
Yep. So not only did they fuck up the finish and forced him to come out, but then he blew both his fucking quads out because of it.
Yeah, so here's the story I can tell about Luther Reigns. So Vince backstage, because he wouldn't let anyone help him walk, tore his other quad. Right?
Oh, wow.
Luther Reigns said that at one point, Vince actually dropped to the floor and was going like, ah, like obviously in agony.
Yeah.
So Luther Reigns said that as Vince was getting into his car to be driven to the hospital, he says that Vince seen a bunch of the boys watching him. Yeah. You know, so Vince fucking dropped to the floor and started doing press ups. Despite having torn quads, what a fucking
Wow, dude, he's a beast.
He's a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, that's kayfabe. That's super kayfabe. That's amazing. I didn't know all that. You're just a wealth of useless. I mean, you know a lot.
If anyone wants to hear trivia, go check out an episode I did with the great Chadster on for the new generation to classified.
Yep.
Where I did an episode about WrestleMania 9 and the WrestleMania that we didn't get. I used all my Mark research and it's a very good episode. Plus, I was drinking during it.
Shocker. So this is when Batista took on JBL at WrestleMania, correct?
Triple H.
Was it Triple H?
Yeah, and then Cena versus JBL.
Cena versus JBL, okay. I mean, I was close. I'm not one you want to, like, rely on for facts or information, because I just...
Oh, yeah.
I've forgotten more than you'll ever learn, brother.
Yeah, but the thing about the Rumble is that, like, what I did like is that there was the Rumble a couple of years ago where Brock Lesnar was in it, and he threw out the first 17 people in, like, 18 minutes. And it was unbelievable. And then, what's the guy's name? McIntyre came out, kicked Lesnar in the face right over the top rope. And this whole stadium
was unbelievable.
Apeshit. And then the China virus happened and destroyed Drew McIntyre's career, which was a shame.
Doesn't that suck, dude? Like, I really want to see Drew because he deserved it at that point. Like, leaving, like, all the 3MB shit and then leaving, going to Impact, becoming a pretty big star over there, and, you know, putting on muscle and all that and coming back. In NXT and just killed it there, gets hurt, comes, then he gets up on the main roster and really did a fucking fantastic job. And like the 3-2-1 Claymore shit that he invented was like genius, dude. Like the crowd really loved him.
Yeah, but that's why I'm such a WrestleMania mark, because at that was 2 years ago that happened. Mm-hmm. I remember when Drew won. Then I remember Raw and SmackDown having a whole bunch of genuinely interesting storylines to lead into Mania. And it really looked like, holy shit, this is going to be a great WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And then the virus happened. They had to hold it in an empty fucking room instead. But, you know, that's why I'm very excited for this Royal Rumble. First Royal Rumble in 2 years, 2022, in 2 years with fans. It's going to have Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. There's going to be the women's match, which I'm a women's wrestling fan, but this one's going to be interesting because the belt is on the line. So and we don't know what's going on with WrestleMania at all. So could Cena be in it? Could The Rock be in it?
We'll find out.
You never know.
Yeah, we'll find out this Sunday who's going to win the Men's Rumble and the Women's Rumble.
Yeah, but what a great sign that of modern wrestling, that the thing that excites us about wrestling in 2022 is John Cena and The Rock. How times have changed.
No shit. That's a good point. Your predictions for this Sunday's Royal Rumble.
Jesus. Well, who's the champ? Well, at the minute, the champions are Lesnar and Reigns. You know what I'd love to see, just to mix it up, would be... you know what? I'm not even going to predict because I don't really watch enough to know what's going on.
Plus, you don't like to be wrong either, so...
Plus, only right and right wing. But I would say I am going to be watching it. So, I enjoyed watching this one. That's because I have one friend in real life, my friend Stu, who likes wrestling. Wait a minute. No, I have a lot of friends in real life. What I meant to say was I have one real life. No, wait a minute. The one person that I know in real life that likes wrestling is my friend Stu, and he's an AEW mark, so I don't get to talk about it with anyone.
That's fair.
And that was good. That's I hope fair. I don't sound lonely.
We're still in the scamdemic, so don't worry about it.
All right.
This was a good event. No, it really wasn't. It's kind of there's a lot of shitty people in this Rumble. But it was worth it for the fucking ending and seeing, like, the botch and Vince, because I forgot all of that. I completely forgot McMahon blew his fucking quads. I was at Hooters watching this. Do you have Hooters over... Do you have restaurants named Hooters over there?
Yeah, over here they're called Knockers.
Are you for real? Are you serious?
No.
You're an asshole. Do you not have Hooters, though? Like, do they franchise overseas?
I honestly don't know. I don't need to go looking for Hooters.
That's fair.
Hooters
that's fair.
Looks for me.
But you have heard of the restaurants though that are here.
Oh yeah,
obviously. So I was at Hooters watching it because they used to show every WWE pay per view for free. So we'd go in there and order wings and beers and whatever and watch the events. And it was always cool seeing the marks there with all their fucking wrestling shirts on. it's just a giant collection of nerds and dorks and virgins. It was, truly, it was very, very, very funny. But when that spot happened with Vince, we all looked at each other like, what the fuck just happened? Like, why is Vince McMahon sitting in the ring, like, looking perplexed, trying not to sell the fact that he's in goddamn agony? And back then, the internet was a thing, but, back then you had to wait like a few days to find out what the story was, whereas now it's like fucking instant. People can just do it from their cell phones.
Thank God for praise Allah for JD from New York.
Fuck that.
The guy. Oracle of knowledge. The little cunt.
That guy is. I don't want to get started. Anyway,
that guy is the current target of Get My Go on the new episode.
Yes.
Out right now.
Yeah. He is the cunt of the year for sure. Did you see the fucking meme he puts up with like his face on Roman Reigns with the fucking holding the title up?
I did see that, and do you want to know what makes it even worse?
What's that?
You can tell he does that with zero irony.
that's fair.
Like no, that's you, fair. You know that he believes that shit, and you just think that it's sad, and that's why I think people will enjoy the Get My Go, which is out right now at the time of recording. We go pretty harsh on him.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I do plan on it. This is actually an interesting comparison. It's a comparison, goddammit! It's a conspiracy comparison. Get My Go should do a cunt-off between Rue TV and JD from NY and see who's the biggest fucking cunt out of the two. Because they're both pretty oblivious to like how douchey they both are.
I would say JD... I think we more really? Case between JD and Chris Martin. Rue seems like a kind of guy who's fun to make fun of, but not a bad guy.
Really? Like, he seems like he's like ultra like into himself. Maybe not as much as JD, but I still think Rue is just doesn't give a fuck about what people say about him.
Well, just as a little teaser for an upcoming Get My Go, because I also recorded... which would be the episode that follows JD. Someone we know was on TV doing an interview, and oh boy, did we go after it.
Really? I'm interested. You got to tell me off air because I'm very.
You have seen it?
No.
I'll tell you right now.
Just tell me.
John Wangland was on TV.
No, get the fuck out of here. No.
You haven't seen this?
No.
All right, I'm going to find the link and I'm going to send it to your Twitter.
Okay.
He was on TV promoting his, to be fair, he was doing a good charitable thing. So we weren't making fun of the charity event. So good for Wangland for doing it. But Wangland was Wangland. And it was a pretty good episode. And
how the fuck did I not know that?
I can't believe you didn't know.
I'm so out of the loop, bro. I got 6 podcasts, and you know my whole deal. Like, I'm so fucking busy. I'm in my own shit right now. So I haven't been in tune with the Wangland universe or Get My Go. I did not know that. That's a shoot. I had no idea. I can't wait to fuck. That's like Christmas all over again.
Yeah, and it was a very rare episode in that. Pretty much everyone was available at the same time, so there was 4 or 5 of us.
Like the stars aligned perfectly.
Yeah, and it was just like it was. We knew at the time it was good. I accidentally said a certain word, so praise Jesus that Durbin edited it out. But
shocker,
know. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know the word you used. Anyway, no, I'm looking forward to that. So definitely hook me up with that. But where can we find you on the socials?
You're going to find me on YouTube. I am on Hughes Entertainment. Sort of breaking news and breaking my rule to say, because I usually don't like to announce guests beforehand because it often gets delayed or doesn't happen.
I'd never do it.
Upcoming interview with porn star Kiss of Sins.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
We've got the hilarious Bob Levy coming on, who, for those that haven't heard, at the time of recording this, January 14th, was attacked with a broken bottle by a guy in a comedy club, and Bob Levy crane kicked him off the stage. Yeah, awesome. So that'll be coming up. We've got Eric Nagel from, of course, the Obi and Anthony universe.
Yep.
And if anyone wants to hear pro wrestling being spoken about by experts and not two fucking nerds like us, go to Keepin' 100 Official on YouTube and leave all the comments you can. Interact, trash talk, everything you need to. It's maybe the only YouTube channel on YouTube about wrestling that actually has genuine experts speaking about it.
That's fair.
And Joe Finney.
Anyway, you're also on Twitter at the Husey. Yeah.
At the Husey on Twitter. At the Husey on Instagram. Particularly Instagram. This is what I don't understand. I have over 10,000 YouTube followers.
Yep.
I have over 5,000 Twitter followers, but on Instagram, I think I've got like about 200 and something.
Mm. I'm one of them though. So
yeah,
there's that.
So I'd love to be able to bump that up because I've heard that Instagram is the perfect way for getting guests. So even if you don't want like my stuff, just go subscribe to at the Husey on Twitter
and Instagram.
On Instagram. Fuck, see, there you go. It's the problem.
You're saying Twitter. Up. Yeah, no.
Anyway. IG, bro.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well, at RadRobGaming. I'm a Twitch gaming streamer. I'm an old fuck that likes to play video games. Not well, but at least I do it. I stream on Twitch every Tuesday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. I also have a YouTube gaming channel with literally thousands of videos. You know, usually my number one video, you probably wouldn't believe this, it's a WWE 2K19 entrance scene, like entrance video, like create a wrestler entrance that I did. That's got like 30,000 fucking views on it, and obviously not monetized because I don't have enough subs yet, but my biggest fucking crowd for this is India. They are like, they love this fucking created entrance shit. It blows my mind, but I'm still getting hits daily on a video that I did like 3 fucking years ago.
I can let you in on a little Keepin' 100 plan. The plan is once this new WWE game comes out for the PlayStation and Xbox, mm-hmm. to, if possible, live stream or create a tournament to upload to the Keepin' 100 YouTube channel.
Mm. Interesting. I like actually could be
a lovely bit of fun. But, of course, Conan and Disco will bury it and all that stuff. But what do they know? They're not cool
No, they're not.
Like
they're,
I am.
They're completely out of touch. But yeah, no, that video is doing fucking ridiculous numbers, as is the dork side of the ring, which will be returning, hopefully in March-ish around WrestleMania time, unless we get bored and decide to do it before then. But we're still getting hits on that one as well daily. I think our Jericho one is up over like 1,200. So thanks to everybody for checking that out. And nobody watches my gaming videos. They all watch Dorkside. It's funny. Like I have almost 300 subs now, since we put the videos up, and I still get like 10 people watching my gaming videos, but hundreds and hundreds of people are watching you and I talk about the cringy AEW fans and the horrible runs that Matt Hardy and Chris Jericho and CM Punk. We got to do a CM Punk episode again because that motherfucker is still mediocre as shit, but pissing people off on Twitter and, you know, not putting over new stars. We definitely have to revisit him for a third time.
Yeah, even AEW marks are getting sick of CM Punk. And do you realize how tough that is to do for the AEW fans to think this is too much?
Absolutely. Like the apologists that drink the Kool-Aid and love everything they do. Still think Tony Khan's Booker of the Year. Yeah, they're getting fed up of CM Punk and his douchiness. He just doesn't like fucking people. Fuck it, let's just do it right now. Welcome back. No, I'm just kidding.
He's not the Booker of the Year. He's the Booger Sugar of the Year.
Yes. Do you see the PWI 500 was full of fucking AEW guys? And like they took down like almost every award, like Wrestler of the Year. Punk got Comeback of the Year. I think Britt Baker got Female of the Year. It's fucking disgusting how much like the wrestling media, the fake news wrestling media, as Brad Shepard calls it, is bought and paid for by Tony Khan.
Yeah, but the thing is, who the fuck reads wrestling magazines?
That's true. That's fair. It's not like back in the day when Bill Apter ran it, and you know, like that's the only source of information you had outside of WWF. You know, but now, yeah, it is kind of a joke because nobody reads magazines anymore. But it's also a slap in the face, dude, that to be that biased towards AEW just because, you know, Tony gave him some money. There's no credibility anymore.
Yeah, well, if you want credible wrestling news, and we'll sign off on this, then you need to go check out the Wrestling Informer. That's the news source hosted by the great Billy Body.
Great. I don't know. That's a bit of an oversell. In any event, I'm sorry. I don't like. He blocked me on all his accounts. Just and like screenshotted how much he makes in a fucking year, and then called me a cunt, and then blocked me. So it's just he's a weird guy. In any event, guys, we appreciate you watching this episode of RTW Rewind. Again, it's our first day of the Rad Rumble. 7 days of shows leading up until this Sunday's Kayfabe Day. It's still fucking January 14th, 15th. But no, leading up to this Sunday's Royal Rumble, we're all looking forward to it. And maybe we'll do a recap. Wait, what time would it be in Ireland when it's over? Like 4 in the morning or some shit like that?
Yeah, it'll be pretty early, but we can always maybe do one a Monday evening.
Yeah, there you go. We should do
that. Would suit because like I'm definitely going to watch the Rumble. Like there's no way I'm missing it.
Well, if you're still up, I am going to do a live post game wrap up show. So if you want to pop in for that, that's fine. If not, we can jump on afterwards. But
I tell you what I could do. I could during the event. I could text you my review.
There you go.
In DMs, and you could read out my words minus the swearing on the no fact. You have to read it out word for word,
verbatim. Okay, all right. I will. I will definitely do that. Use these drunk Royal Rumble tweets. Good stuff. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow for the second day of the Rad Rumble 2022. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.